In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Wednesday afternoon discussion group is studying a book about the various ways that God shares his love with humanity. The chapter we'll be looking at this week examines how God shows his love for us by giving us saving faith. Central to our Lutheran beliefs and teaching is that we are justified by grace through faith. In today's gospel reading, St. Peter clearly states the content of our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior. The connection between the book and the gospel reading suggests that today is a very good day for us to review and renew what we know about saving faith. Let's begin with three questions. Are you saved? When were you saved? And how are you saved? Are you saved? A lot of people, even people who profess that we are justified by grace through faith, talk as if they are uncertain whether they are saved or not. Often people will say things like, well, if I make it to heaven, which suggests a feeling of doubt there. If our salvation was based on doing good works, we'd have reason to be insecure about our salvation. We would never know if we had done enough good deeds. We'd never know if our good actions outweigh the bad. Likewise, we would be insecure if our eternal destination was based on some kind of personal decision. We would find ourselves fretting over whether our decision to allow Christ to save us was sincere enough. Did we really mean it? Did we really feel it? Or would we worry that perhaps we had changed our mind, or that we had sinned so badly that we had to invite Jesus into our lives again? Thanks be to God that our salvation is not based on our good works or on fleeting emotional decisions. God wants us to be certain of our salvation, and we can be. We can be sure because our salvation is not based on what we do or what we think or what we feel. Our salvation is based on what God has done for us. Jesus took all of our sins upon himself and died on the cross so that we can be forgiven. We don't have to do anything. We can't do anything to save ourselves. Jesus did it all, and how that is will become clearer as we go along. So, when were you saved? You could say that you were saved on the moment that Jesus died on the cross. In that instance, the debt of your sin was canceled. The price of your freedom from the slavery of sin was paid. The fact that some people will stubbornly refuse the gift of salvation won for us doesn't diminish in any way that Jesus died for all people. You could also say that you were saved when you were baptized. In holy baptism, God claims us as his child forever and promises us eternal life. Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 reads, "Baptism now saves you." And as the Small Catechism explains, it's not just water that does this. It is water with the saving power of God's word that makes us God's children. Our faith receives that gift. We baptize infants, as we have always done, and we wonder, can infants have faith? Well, can an infant feel love? If your child or grandchild can love you, certainly he can love God as well. But can a child understand God? Well, can you explain all the mysteries of our faith? No, you can't, but you are still saved. Fortunately for us, God doesn't require that we have perfect knowledge of him to be saved. The unborn John the Baptist jumped in his mother's womb when the unborn Jesus approached in Mary's stomach. John knew his Savior. That was prenatal faith. And if prenatal faith exists, well, neonatal faith must exist as well. So, how are we saved? I think we've already answered that, but to state it clearly, we are justified. We are forgiven and promised eternal life with Christ because God loves us so much. Jesus took the punishment we deserved. He was our substitute. We cannot do anything to earn salvation for ourselves. Salvation is a gift from God that we receive when we have faith in him. Even faith itself is God's gift to us. But we can choose to reject that gift. So if we are saved, we are saved by God's doing. But if we are lost, we're lost by our own fault. Let me try to illustrate what we've been talking about by sharing my story, my testimony, if you will. I was baptized as an infant. As a child, I attended Sunday school and worship. There, I heard the word of God. I just always knew that Jesus was real and that he loved me, and that as I prayed each night, if I die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. I don't take any credit for my faith. God put faith in me through the ministry of my family and my church. Now, when I was a teenager, I went to another church. They told me that my baptism was meaningless, that it was just an empty symbol. They also gave me mixed messages about salvation. On one hand, they told me that one day I would just feel Jesus come into my life and I would be saved. On the other hand, they told me that I had to make a decision to invite Jesus into my heart to be saved. So, how did Jesus get into my heart? Would he let himself in, or did I have to unlock and open the door for him? I so much wanted Jesus to come into my heart, or to be led to that decision, but it never really happened for me. That bothered me. All of my friends were getting saved. What was wrong with me? The security I had felt in my salvation before had been robbed from me. Another thing that bothered me is that we were told that once you were saved, there were no smoking, no drinking, no listening to rock and roll, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my teenage friends who had gotten saved still did those things. So did the adults. And that hypocrisy challenged my faith. Finally, I answered an altar call just because it seemed like the right thing to do, even though the magic feeling that I was told would be there simply wasn't there. It took a while, but eventually I came to the realization that I didn't need to invite Jesus into my heart or wait for some big emotional event when he entered my heart, because Jesus was already in there. I didn't need to find him because he wasn't lost. Jesus' spirit had already taken up residence in me in my baptism. The mind of Christ had already been formed in me through my instruction in God's word. A dramatic salvation experience for me would have just been bogus. And I'm sure that that's true for many of you too. You have always known Jesus. You have always known that you are his. Now, certainly, someone who has never known Christ, when they first get to know him and come to faith in him, that would be a very big, life-changing emotional experience for them. But not everyone has to have that kind of experience. Don't let any human being dictate to you how they imagine Christ might come to your life. Christ has already settled that in the Bible. Throughout the New Testament, when people ask what they must do to be saved, such as the jailer and his family in Acts chapter 16, they are told, believe and be baptized. That is the pattern that we are given in the Bible. God gives us faith so that we can believe, and God baptizes us. Baptism is not a statement we make. It is an action that God takes. So what does it mean to believe? Peter confessed his faith in Christ as God's Son. How do we confess our faith, our belief? Some churches have altar calls. Lutherans don't. Why not? You won't find an altar call in the Bible. Peter and Paul never had altar calls. Altar calls didn't develop until the early 1800s. Revival services were new at the time, and they would get people emotionally riled up. And at the climax of the service, people would come forward to give their life to Christ. Then the revival would end, and they'd pack up the tents, and everybody would go back to living the way they had always lived and doing what they had always done. Faith is not a one-shot deal. It's a relationship, not an emotional breakdown with religious overtones. Such experiences can actually leave people insecure about their faith. I had an uncle. Now, in my family, distant relatives, say, for instance, my grandmother's second cousin three times removed, would be called uncle. Anyway, my uncle would answer an altar call and rededicate his life to Christ every Easter. Did he really think that he had backslid to the point that he had lost his salvation? Did Jesus abandon him and then re-enter him every Easter? I doubt it. If you are worried about losing your faith, that means you've still got it. When you've lost your faith totally, then you just don't care. I was once at a funeral. And there at the graveside, the pastor asked everyone to close their eyes and bow their head. And he asked them if they knew where they were going to go if they died that night. Then he said anyone who wanted to confess their faith in Christ and be saved should raise their hand. No one would see them but him. If things like that worked, hey, I'd be all for them, but they don't work. Faith cannot be emotionally manipulated, and it is not a secret, private matter. We don't need these innovations. What Christ taught his disciples privately, he told them to shout from the rooftops. No one is ever going to find any new truth in the Bible that's been hidden for centuries. God has made himself and what we need to know about him absolutely clear. Does anyone think that they're going to find something that Augustine and Luther and Walther missed? Simply not going to happen. Peter and Paul confessed their faith in Christ publicly. Peter got hung upside down on a cross for it, and Paul got beheaded, and countless other martyrs died. Each Sunday, we confess our faith in Christ publicly when we recite the creed, the words that recapitulate the unchanging faith handed down once and from all for Christ to his apostles to us. Each week, we are called to the altar and receive the Lord's body and blood in faith for the strengthening of our faith. That is all God's doing for our salvation. We can trust in him for our salvation and be secure. To say it again for emphasis, salvation is God's work, not ours. Once I met a man who told me that he had personally saved 12 people. The fact is, he didn't save anyone. And I can tell you that as a pastor, I have never saved a single soul. God saved them all. And today, God is telling us that we are his called, redeemed, sanctified, saved people. So let us confess our faith in our Savior along with Peter and the church throughout the ages, today and forevermore. Amen.